and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Are you ready?
Yo, what up, what up? It's your boy Rabino.
And this DJ Erm in the building.
And you listening to the Up and Up podcast.
Yeah.
Wait, what are we doing?
I don't know, just listen.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
What it do, what it do?
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuning to the Up and Up podcast on the Up and Up Network. I'm your host, Rabino.
And I'm DJ Erm, man.
What's up, boss?
What's going on?
I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good. I'm doing well,
man. All good, huh?
I'm good, bro. I'm running my victory laps, bro.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
always, sir. Man. I'm feeling good, man. Yeah, yeah, you know. I always got to do something, bro. Right? I don't know why. I be forcing it sometimes. But I'm feeling good, man. Blessed as always. Thankful for everybody in the room. Right. Good energy. Yep. Good vibes. Again, like I said, this is the Up and Up podcast. This is the podcast where we're focused on cultivating culture. Right. Mm-hmm. We do that by providing amazing stories of individuals, groups, movements, the hustlers, the shakers. The pioneers, people who are taking up space in various industries,
mm-hmm.
right? Making a way, breaking barriers.
All that.
Not only for us, but for the next generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling good, man. And like I said, you know, we bring people up here always. We're honored to bring people up here who carve their own lanes, you know?
Yes, sir.
And blaze their own trails. And I'm excited because today's guest, long overdue, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's right on time, right? Yep. But today's guest is a young trailblazer, I would say, who's taken it upon himself to create the resources that keep on giving, right?
Yeah.
Not only for the now, but for the next, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He's definitely a culture cultivator who's keeping everything he's doing on the up and up, right?
Yep.
Today, we're joined by the amazing leader and founder of Seattle's number one destination for creatives, entrepreneurs, professionals, known as Colors Studio. To give a little more insight, Colors is a Seattle-based co-working space designed for the creative community, especially those who have kind of a passion for social impact. And just to kind of go down the line, they provide a full-fledged, like full-on streamlined service, right? Providing creative branding resources from production, strategizing, helping people develop their brands and et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of the one-stop shop that people need. And what was dope about them is they've kind of created a hub and a home for, you know, those who don't have access.
Yeah.
Right. Let's just talk about it. Yep. They don't have access. And yep. especially real. As creatives, black and brown underrepresented creatives, they don't have access. And these him and his team as well have created a platform and a home for that. So we want to salute that. We're honored to have him in the building. We're excited to learn more about his journey and the future is bright. Right. Let's just get straight to him, man. Our guest is none other than the boss man himself, Armando Garzon. Can we get a round of applause?
Yeah.
Give it up.
Oh, man. Yeah, I appreciate that, guys.
How you doing? Sure.
Super good. Super excited to be here. You know, it's crazy. We were just talking about we're at my first studio. It feels like not that long ago.
Yeah.
And it's been a couple years.
Yeah.
And I know you guys been doing this for a while, bro. And yeah. I respect consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing. And to be here, you know, to be on this podcast, like, I'm fucking excited.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Hell
man, we're excited to have you, bro. Yep. I always say it's long overdue because I know when we first met, like, we knew we had to get this done. Mm-hmm. But again, it's a pleasure to have you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask you, how's your day going?
Amazing, bro. Okay. Amazing. It's been a nice day. My work got in, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Got some work done. Now I'm still working, you know,
mm-hmm.
on the podcast.
Doesn't stop.
Doesn't stop, sir. Dude. Doesn't stop.
Yeah, man. Well, we'll just keep it going. You're familiar with the show, so we start every mm-hmm. episode with the quote of the day, right? Get the vibe right. You're looking at me, yes, but I don't tell the quote. See, he was like, he thought I was going to tell the quote.
Yeah, yeah, he tricked me.
Not me. That's brother and Herm.
All right. The quote of the day is, the most important thing is you must put everybody on notice let me restart. The most important thing is you must put everybody on notice that you're here and you are for real.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
And who was that quote by?
Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my God. I might have to pull a Kobe graphic up here, bro. That's damn. Can you run that one back?
Yeah, I got you. I got to. The quote is, the most important thing is you must put everybody on notice that you're here and you are for real.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like that, bro. I like that.
Mm.
I think, like, I've been on this like journey lately of like really getting my values down, you know, getting to know myself. And I think a big part of that is like showing up very present.
Yeah.
You know, I think you got to be bold in what you want and like really own that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, and Kobe encapsulates that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's it's a long journey and it comes when you're building things, but
yeah,
it's an internal journey too.
Yeah.
You know,
and like just fully committing and like just not backing down, standing on it, you know, and then people will be like, okay, yeah. Like consistency, like you said earlier, it's like people know you're here for real. You're not just playing around, you know? So that's why I brought that up.
And it's like for you, you know, it's not for external things, like for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give it to the world.
Exactly.
That's for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that, bro. I think it is kind of like there's a difference between existing and then letting people know you're here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's kind of how I look at it. It's like, I mean, for him, obviously, you know, you get drafted. Now you exist in the NBA, but do they know you're there?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think that could be translated to our lives, too. So I love that. Good quote, man.
Yes, sir.
You don't miss with the quotes.
You don't miss with the intros.
Okay,
man,
you want to swap one thing? You want to do the intro? I'll do a quote?
Yeah, maybe.
Nah,
you know.
They ain't about to let me do that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
So, Armando, obviously, you're familiar with our show. It's all about the journey, man. Mm-hmm. Right? It's all about people's paths. But before we get into your journey, I did kind of want to give you a chance to just touch on colors. I mentioned it in the intro, but obviously, you know, you being the leader, you being the one there, can you kind of like put it in your own words in terms of like, I guess, what the mission and objective is with colors?
Yeah, no, I will. And I appreciate you giving the shout out to colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So colors is it's a hub. It's we like to say the smart way to co-work and create. Mm-hmm. And we're really trying to establish a space that people can go make content, network with other people and have a home, really having a space. Mm-hmm. We have creative services that we have in the back end, so it's kind of a hybrid between a co-working space and a creative service business. But the primary goal for Colors is a platform for our community. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are really creative. They have a lot of talent, but they either don't have access to the resources or they don't have access to the community. And we want to make it simple. You know, like you don't have to go out there and invest all this money into a studio. Like you can go have your membership, have access to everything, and then down the line, you could also open one if you want to.
Yeah.
I think we want to, there should be more hubs like Colors.
Got you.
You know, sure. I think Colors should be one of many, and I think, like, that's what makes a community strive, you know, when there's those, like, infrastructure.
There you go.
And I'll tell you guys about the journey. Colors, again, like, this has been something that happened so organically. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not how it initiated. It wasn't like I had this idea, like, oh, we're going to make this. No, it was more like, okay, I know what I want to do, pursue that, and then listening to kind of what's going on, this makes sense, let's do that, and we're here.
Mm. Nice, man.
Yeah.
I like that because it's like a lot of people want to get started, and like half of I'd probably say like 80% is just even getting the equipment and stuff for them. So,
right.
Like, shout out to you guys because you guys are really like putting people on right now. So,
thank you, bro.
Yeah, yeah. And then I also wanted to take it back because we were talking about the journey. Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about like your upbringing and like growing up and like Hell how was that for you?
Yeah, yeah. So, I was born in San Diego, California.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that makes two of us. I was born in San Diego as well.
Yeah. I think we connected on that the first time. So I was born there. And I grew up in El Cajon. We went to Spring Valley. I lived there in San Diego until about 10 years old. And we always moved a lot. So like growing up, I was always moving a lot. And I guess in that time frame, the biggest thing for me that would be relevant to the story is I was always artistic. I was always very creative. I was always loved to draw, loved to just make stuff. Mm-hmm. And my uncle, he was a painter and a drawer. And so like, he was in prison in Mexico, and he would send my mom like these beautiful paintings and like drawings, and that was really cool. I think that's one thing that like as a kid I always kind of like really gravitated towards, and that was my thing. So I grew up in San Diego. We moved, and another thing too, I was always very like entrepreneur driven. I don't know why. I would like to figure out how to like sell things. Like I remember even like in elementary school, like I would like bring like little things, knickknacks, and sell them, you know?
Yeah.
I would like, we had a printer and like I'd print out like, wow, Industry Worlds was pretty big.
Yeah.
Kind of like as stickers, you know?
Yeah.
And then my mom, they got super pissed because, you know, ink's expensive, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was always these ways that I was kind of trying to figure out like, I don't know. I think it was the thrill.
Like wanting to do your own thing, though.
Yeah. I think that was big. And and my dad was always like, he was working all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when he wasn't working, he was kind of like instilling me and my brother with those values of like, if you want something, like get it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't have a lot. So it was like that necessity of like, shit, mm-hmm. like no one's going to get this for us. But I'd say like that was kind of my upbringing, like 0 to 10. And then moved up north.
Mm-hmm.
Moved up north to like North California.
Okay.
And then we lived in this little town. Mm-hmm. And so we went from like living in like not the city, but like the suburbs.
Yeah.
And in San Diego, it's, you know, it's very Latino oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you're speaking Spanish probably more than English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're going to TJ on the weekends, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, and we're eating Mexican food like normally.
Yeah.
And then we moved to California. It's a little town called Homebrook. Like the closest town is Yreka, and the closest big town is in Medford in Oregon.
Okay.
So we lived there for a year, and it was like rural, dude. Like it was so small that like it was three grades in one classroom.
Damn.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Damn.
That's an adjustment right there.
Yeah. And it was like our school had elementary school to middle school. So you had like third, fourth, and fifth grade in one classroom, and then sixth, seventh, and eighth grade.
It's one stop shop right there.
Yeah, bro.
You come and get it all at one spot.
For real, bro. And like I was like the only Mexican kid in the class,
mm-hmm.
and it was new.
Yeah.
But it was a cool experience because I feel like I embraced it really well.
Yeah.
And the kids were really cool too. So I never felt like left out or anything.
Yeah.
It was actually, if anything, they were really curious.
Yeah.
Like, yo, what's the city like? You know, what's this like and stuff. And like I remember in there, I really got into my entrepreneurial spirit.
Okay.
I remember one time, shout out to my cousin Oscar, also part of the Colors crew.
Shout out Oscar.
Yeah, shout out Oscar.
Yep. One time we came up to visit him, because we'd come up like now we were closer to Washington, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Oscar was like, he was in the scene, you know, he was like in the city and stuff. And I remember Oscar had like these nice Adidas. And like, we were like in the middle of nowhere, so we didn't have that, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, these are fucking sick, you know? And so I went back. When we went back, my mom was like, we're not getting you those, you know? So I was like, all right, fuck it, I need to make some money.
Yeah.
And at the time, my mom and dad, they were like in this, like, this business called like Amway.
Okay.
And so they would like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's also where like a lot of the entrepreneur stuff came out. Mm-hmm. And so my dad would be like, he would just give me energy drinks that I could sell.
Yeah.
And I don't think he thought I was actually gonna sell them, you know? But I was like a fifth grader. I was really little. And then so at school, I just started selling them, dude. And I just started like hustling these things and I was killing it.
Yeah.
And then, but one time this girl was like, hey, we had like this little newspaper. It was like one page. And she like wrote about it. And then she's like, and I was like, hey, don't, you probably shouldn't write about it. Cause she was trying to help me out. You know, she was trying to give me business. She was trying to like advertise it. And I was like, nah, like, probably don't add it on there. But she was, like, trying to help. And so she did. And then I got called to the principal's office.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're selling what?
Yo. First off, bro, you got a very vivid, descriptive memory, which is great. I love that, bro. I love that you can recall all these kind of moments, you know. And I want to ask you as well, like, looking back, I mean, I feel like you're kind of already showing how those things played a role in what you're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kind of want to talk about, like, as you were growing and you found that passion and just kind of being able to do your own thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's selling this or selling that. Like, how was it navigating and kind of coming into your own, like, you mm-hmm. know, as you get older and when, I guess, quote unquote, the real world is starting to get closer. Like, how was that for you?
So I'd say probably around high school, you know, because up until then I'd just been like, you know, selling things, kind of figuring things out. And then I'd say like around high school when I was like getting out of it,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to do art, but I didn't know how I was going to like make money off that.
Mm-hmm. You went to Mariner High School, right?
I went to Mariner High School.
Shout out Mariner High School.
Yeah, shout out to Mariner
High School. Shout out to Marauders. I just wanted to put that out there.
For real.
Yeah.
So I was in Mariner and actually Mr. Holland, he was a big inspo for me.
Okay.
He's like an art teacher there. And he's the one that really kind of made me think, like I need to pursue this.
Mm-hmm.
But I still didn't know how to, like, make money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wasn't a good kid in high school, so
yeah.
I wasn't going to go to college. And I knew that. And so what happened was I kind of came to this place where I was like, okay, I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to do. And I'm going to have to put art on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, it was, like, drawing. But I was like, I can probably get into, like, graphic design or something.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like I grew up loving entrepreneurship. So I was like, I'm going to do either entrepreneurship or, you know, artist. And so what happened was I got this opportunity. I actually graduated from like Stevens last year, and we moved again. And there was like this intercom thing for like a job at sales. Mm-hmm. It was a job at a car dealership.
Okay.
And so that was, since that was one of my passions, I was like, fuck it, I'm diving deep into this.
Let's go. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was either that or military or that wasn't much options. And so I went into it, and man, that was fucking hard to get that job. Mm-hmm. You know, I was 17. I graduated 17 because I was in the California district. Mm-hmm. And so like the dudes wouldn't want to give it to me, but I just showed up and I showed up and I showed up and I showed up, dude. And eventually the dude was like, hey, like, why don't you just get a loop check job? And then when you turn 18, you can work here. And I was like, nah, dude, like, this is it. You know, this is it for me, bro. Like, if you don't give me, like, I'm either this or I'm going to the military.
Yeah, I need this. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll give it to you. So I needed a shot so bad, bro, that like when they gave it to me, I fucking hit the ground running. You know?
Yeah.
So like I started working. I was fucking doing whatever that they told me to do. Yeah. Even if it wasn't sales related, I was doing it. You want to move the cars? Fuck it. I'll move the cars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You guys need stickers, boom, 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 boom. And I spoke Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I could translate, you know, and I just wanted to be helpful.
Yeah.
So because of that, like, success came quick because no one had really given me a shot. Mm. And so I just did really well. I did really well. I started hitting my numbers. Like, I remember the first week. Actually, I wasn't on commission until I turned 18. Mm. And so, but I worked so many hours, dude, that I was, like, making good money, you know?
Yeah.
And so when finally I started getting on commission, I was, like, hooked, you know? I was hooked. And so I finally had some money.
Yeah.
And I, like, I remember, like, first, but I was also very, like, I was very aware as a kid growing up.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't, like, most academic, but I was kind of self-aware. And so I used that money. I was like, you know what? Let me go to college. Mm-hmm. Let me at least have a plan B. Mm-hmm. And so I used some of that money to go to college to start paying for my stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I also used it to, like, get braces.
Okay.
Just kind of started taking my care of myself.
Yeah.
And so that went on for a couple of years. My art stuff kind of had been put to the side. And then, and it's actually full circle later, because that first dealership, it had a big impact on me. Mm-hmm. But a couple, like, by this time, let's say I was like 18, 19, probably 18. I leave because there was changes in the company and I didn't really like the culture anymore. Mm-hmm. But I went to go work at another dealership. And then at that dealership, I got offered a job at Bank of America.
Okay.
And this was perfect for me because I wanted to go to Seattle. I wanted to live in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I needed to figure out how to get there. Yeah. And so one day this lady comes in, and it was like Norma. And she's like, and I was like selling her a car. And then we're like in the paperwork room and stuff. And she was like, hey, like, she was telling me about this kid that she had hired that was like 27. Mm-hmm. And she was like, about how great he was and stuff. And I was like, that's really cool, you know? And then she was like, how old are you? And I was like, at that time, I was like 19. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, what? And then I was like, yeah. And then she was like, do you want to come work for us? And I was like, I mean, like, if you can give me a job in Seattle and you give me, like, a salary, I'd be mm-hmm. down. Because my life was like this. Because when you're on commission, it's like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, and I can go, keep going to school. So I said, she's like, all right, we'll apply. So I did. So I applied. I went through this whole process. It took, like, 2-3 months to get the job. And I got it. So I got the interview and everything. And I was like, put me in Seattle. Put me in Seattle. I'll fucking go.
Yeah.
And then she was like, yep. And they did. They put me in Lake City. In my mind, I was wanting to be downtown, but I was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll compromise. You know, it's got the zip code, you know?
Yeah.
So finally, I had some stability in my life. And I was like 19 at this point, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but again, I was kind of pursuing one of my passions, which was entrepreneurship or like business. You know, I was learning finance and stuff. And I was going to school for business, but it wasn't like my full passion. You know?
Yeah.
And so, but I had enough money now to like get my apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I got a little studio like by Green Lake and stuff, dude. Yeah. It was fucking cool.
No, it sounds like just kind of following the journey. It sounds like you've always been a hard worker, right? And when you put your mind to something, you're gonna follow through.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take it to kind of, because I'm curious. I feel like you're still a hard worker. Right. Mm-hmm. But I do want to kind of figure out, like, at what point did the art come in? Because before you get to colors,
I
feel like something had to have switched for you, right?
Yeah. So this is what happened. So I'm working at a job, right, that I'm like stability. Mm-hmm. And I have my goals. I'm like, okay, I'm going to become a financial advisor. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the Series 7. I'm like way deep in this side, right?
Yeah.
And you got to remember, like, bro, 2 years ago, I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I thought I was going to go to the military. I thought I was going to, like, get a job. Like, I didn't know where I was going to work. Mm-hmm. And now I have, like, some clarity in my life. Gotcha. So that feels good. But what happens is I didn't have a lot of free time, you know, because I was either going to school, I was working. And one day, and I kill it. Like, I kill it at Bank of America. Like, we're doing really well. Like, I think the first quarter we had sold, I had sold, like, the most credit cards and, like, loans. I had a really good team.
Yeah.
And I worked with them. And what happened was one day I go into my buddy David. He goes, he comes visits me. And he's very nomadic. Like, he'll, like, he's a very free-spirited guy.
Yeah.
And so, like, he was the first one out of my friend group that ever traveled. Mm. And so he had gone to Spain, and then he had gone to the Philippines. So he came back, and he's like, yo, let's go to the Philippines. And I'm like, bro, I can't go to the Philippines. You know what I mean? Like, I'm working. I got hella shit going on.
Yeah.
And then we just, I don't know, he, like, he kind of, like, was explaining his stories and stuff. And I was like, man, that'd be sick, like, to do that. And then he's like, you can do that, you know? Like, you can do that. I'm like, yeah, but, like, what am I going to do? Like, I have this career going now, you know? Like the life, like, the future looks pretty bright. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, nah, like, just do it. He's like, why don't we take a little trip? And I said, fuck it, let's take a little trip. And we went online, Expedia. We found, like, some tickets for this Mexico trip. Mind you, bro, I've never traveled up to this point.
Okay.
Like, maybe, like, when I was really little. But never vacation or anything like
that.
And I was like, hey, you know, like, I'll do it. So we went. But it was an interesting tip because we went to Cabo. And it was, like, there was a lot of, like, just wake-up moments. Because I got there and, like, I had pictured some cool, like, adventurous trip. But it was a resort. It was kind of corny, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was young. I was 19. So I was, like, probably by that time, like, 19, 20. I don't know. And it was kind of eye-opening because I was like, man, the people that look like me work here.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And everybody else, they're, like, college kids, you know, like, living the life, which is cool.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, fuck, like, this is what my future is going to look like. Like, 2 weeks out of the year, I get to travel, but I'm going to just get fucked up, you know? And, like, just have a fucking a belly on the beach, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I kind of saw my future for a second, bro. And I was like, oh, fuck that. And so
it's
we
like an epiphany.
An epiphany, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, and I was young enough where I could still pivot, you know? But also, I had a lot to lose at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I came back. My buddy went straight to Taiwan after that. And so, like, my homie didn't have a lot of money, but he was living a good life.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Got you.
I had some money, but I felt like I wasn't really living my life, you know? And I don't know, part of me was like, fuck, is this, like, gonna ever, like, is there a point where you start enjoying it, you know? Or, like, can you live both? And at the time, I didn't know anything about, like, nomadic lifestyles where you could live and, you know, travel digitally. All this is new to me. I mean, it was all very new to me. Mm. And so at the time, I was just like, I had a lot of questions and I didn't have a lot of answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I got back to the crib and I started just looking shit up. And I found out that, like, that you could, like, make money online, you know, like through social media ads and all these things.
Yeah.
And I bought this course. It was like $1,000 and it like showed you how to run ads.
Okay.
And man, that shit lit a fire in me, dude.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh my God, like I can dictate my own future.
There you go.
You know, and this is 2016. So like the ads had just kind of started hitting Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, people are going to need creative content to run the ads on.
Because
the ads was all just the back end, right? That's just getting things in front of the people.
Yeah.
So that was kind of that first pivotal moment of like, ooh, okay, I can do business side of it, but also creative work.
Mm.
But I just didn't know how yet.
Got you.
But I couldn't get the shit out of my head. So what happened was I still had a couple of weeks of vacation, and I convinced my manager, Sai, to like give me that time all at once. And like in a lot of corporate worlds, you can't really do that. They like want you to spread it out because of people's vacations and shit.
Yeah.
I just convinced him somehow. And then he's like, and he let me do it. And so I took, at the time I started getting like involved with like the climbing community in Seattle. And a lot of people, for some reason, around my life at that time were traveling.
Okay.
And so it was kind of becoming a common thing. And so we go to, I to my buddy one day, I was like, where do you think I should go? And he's like, go to Thailand. He's like, I was like, fuck it, I'll go to Thailand. And so I book it and I go to Thailand, and this was a pivotal moment too, because I started to meet people that were actually like traveling and working.
Okay.
That was there's two big things I got out of that trip. It was like, oh shit, like I would meet people and they'd be like, yeah, I run Google ads for this company and stuff, and I'm making like $5,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? That's crazy. Like, and you can work anywhere that you want in the world.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah. Or like, I meet an artist that makes murals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was introduced to a new lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, oh, dude, like, there's other ways to live your life, you know? And like, if you like keep your expenses low, like, you don't have to have all this money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I started, like, I was mind blown, dude.
Yeah.
And it was people from all over the world. And so I was...
Exposure, man.
Exposure, bro.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah.
And so I took that trip, boom, boom. And at the end of it, I just loved the thrill of like, fuck, I can leave whenever I want. I can go to this island if I want to, I got back, dude, and I just couldn't work anymore, bro. Like, it was like, I was like, damn, I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, but I had a, it was a hard decision. So we had a goal that if I hit these goals, they would give me my Series 7. They would pay for it. It's just like a test you have to pay to get, like, become a stockbroker.
Okay.
You don't do stocks. And I did, I hit all my goals, and they were like, nah, it's not happening. Because of, like, so-and-so-and-so. I was like, yeah, okay. And honestly, like, looking back, it wasn't size fault. It was just the fact that, like, I'm sure there's, like, a lot of politics in it.
Yeah.
So, but that was cool because, I was like, well, fuck it. Then I'm out, you know. Yeah. I'm going to leave. And then, like, if anything, I can always come back to this.
Yeah.
You know, I've hit my sales goals. So I leave. So at that time in Thailand, I learned about a website. It's called Workaway.
Yep.
Workaway. So you can pretty much look up any place you want in the world, and then you can put up like a keyword like marketing, photography, whatever. And then like you can find people there that will house you and like or give you work, whatever. And so I, that's what I did. I started looking up different parts of the world, and I looked up like social media marketing.
Mm.
And then I found a place in Colombia, worked things out, and I went out there. So I quit my job. And I, like, ended my lease, mm-hmm. and then I pretty much sold everything. And this was where that creative aspect of it, where I was like...
What year was this? I'm just...
This was probably, like, 2016 still.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I was like, fuck it, I'm out. You know, I took everything, I sold everything, and I cashed out, like, my 401k and everything.
Yeah.
And I had no, like, plans on coming back, bro. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to go, and I'm going to see where this goes.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I landed in Colombia, and it's funny because like going to Colombia was like a lot of bad things were happening. Like even my trip there, like my flight had got canceled, and then like when I was getting there, the lady I was gonna stay with was like, "Hey, I actually can't be there. I'm gonna be gone for a couple of weeks." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Fuck it though." Like, and part of my head was like, "Oh, maybe this is a sign to not go."
Yeah.
Another one was like, "No, fuck that. It's like a challenge to see how badly you want it." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I got there, and I just stayed at like this random hostel. And I met hella good people, bro.
Yeah.
Like, the first day there, I met all of us, like, had landed there at the same time. And, like, I had no plans, right? So they were like, "Hey, you want to come camping tomorrow?" And I was like, "Fuck yeah." So, you know what I mean? Like, I got nothing to do,
Yeah.
And so we went, dude. And that's kind of, so when eventually Adria came back, she was like, she had gone to college, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was another guy there, too. And he taught me hella shit. Andre's his name. He's from Argentina. Mm-hmm. He had gone to school for art director.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fucking hungry. So, like, I was like, bro, give me all the work.
Yeah.
And I'll do it.
Wow, bro.
Damn.
Thank you for sharing that, bro.
Not
for real. Because I think what that shows is, you know, you have to live life too, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And not like, not just enjoy life and for pleasure, but like, you have to live your life and go through what you go through to get to where you're at. So I'm glad that you shared that, right? Because we can obviously, we're going to get into obviously the business and what you're doing, but I think your journey is unique because it's not conventional.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's not conventional. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. So,
right.
But can we, let's take it to, I mean, I kind of want to know like when you came back to Seattle, obviously you had studio spaces and you were kind of in that, immersed in that business, in that industry. What was that like before you kind of like leading up to Colors? Like, what was that like running your own space?
Well, it's cause like, fuck dude. So I didn't get my first space until I think 2020.
Okay.
And it's so I spent from, do you want me to go to like when I got my first space?
Yeah. Well, I guess before, once you, the entry point to that industry, I guess, cause I feel like your first space would be that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So on this, so let me see. Okay. So it was actually like during the pandemic.
Okay.
So let's say like during the pandemic, what happened was by this time I had learned like marketing, I'd learned photography, I'd learned video.
Mm.
And like now I was doing something I really liked for myself as a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was I was pretty much like in the situation where I was like, I was freelancing, I had a couple clients that were on retainer, but I didn't have a space to work out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're fast forward in 2020. And one day my cousin comes over, Miguel, shout out to Miguel. And he wanted me to help him with some photos and stuff. And so we're in my apartment in Edmonds.
Okay.
And so he comes through and I was like, yo, we started sending some backdrops and stuff. And at the time I was working at a client, Keith Krantz, mm-hmm. with Dominate Web Media. And we're in my space and we're shooting photos. And then Miguel's like, hey, why don't you get a studio and stuff? And I was like, oh, I never thought about that. Mm. And that's a pretty cool idea. And like with me, like once I get an idea, like you guys probably notice, like I'll get into
we
it.
We can tell. We
you know what I mean? I'll get into it hard.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, and at the time, you know, I started thinking like, why don't we? Like, because I was working with Keith and like we would do the ads and stuff for mm-hmm. companies. Mm-hmm. And then I hit him up and I was like, bro, like, why don't we do the content? Mm-hmm. You know, like we don't just have to do the back end. Like we can make the videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, by this time I was doing videos like for other people and mm-hmm. I loved it. So I was like, I can manage it. And he's like, that's interesting. Like, let's look into it. And so I started just looking at studios. Mm-hmm. I started looking at studios, went on Craigslist. Like, what do they cost? You know, like, where are they? You know, how does a commercial lease even work? Mm-hmm. Is this possible? You know? And so ironically, bro, like I look at a post and it was this guy named, it was a Craigslist post. It looked like a fucking scam, but something about it made
me.
They all do, dude. They all do. Something about it just caught my interest. And it was like, get a studio, 20K, and you can keep it pretty much. And I look it up and I call the guy up. His name was Rocky. He's like, hey, I'm like, what's up, man? Like, I saw this post you put up. He's like, yeah, still up. He's like, come up, pull up, you can check it out. Mm-hmm. So I pulled up and stuff, and it was fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
It was on the Elliott Bay area.
Okay.
And Seattle is fucking huge spot. And what intrigued me was that it was cheap. It was like he didn't say the specific price. It was $20,000. Mm-hmm. And then he wanted, I think it was $3,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you'll see kind of how this plays out. It doesn't work out. You didn't get it. But I went down there, met the dude, old timer, bro. I love old timers, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, like yeah. I just love people with stories, love people that can like tell you some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. He's like, you want some pizza? I was like, fuck yeah. So we started eating like this old ass pizza. He's telling me like his story.
Why is the pizza gotta be old?
Dude, what's funny is like he put it in the oven and then we took that's it funny. Out. And I didn't, like, I just ate it, and it tasted terrible, dude. Yeah. But out of respect, I had to finish it, you know?
Yeah,
and he's just, like, eating it like nothing, dude. I was like, it's crazy. That's crazy. But we're just fucking chilling, and he's telling me all his stories and stuff. He had shot, like, 4 presidents or something. Old dude, bro. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so this deal doesn't end up working out. There's too many holes in it. The landowners are like, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. And then Keith and another homie Brent, they pulled out of the deal. They're like, nah, it's getting too expensive.
Yeah.
And it was during COVID, so everybody was like just worried.
Yeah.
And
basically
I was like, fuck it, I'm done. And then Rocky just said some shit. He was just like, are you not gonna get it? And I was like, no, I can't do it. And then he's like, well, just get something at least. Mm. And I was like, I don't know, man. He's like, well, if you really want to do it, just do it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you'll figure it out. I was like, I don't know how to run it, I don't know, I don't need this shit. And he's like, you'll figure it out. He's like, and you're going to have hell of fun.
Yeah.
He's like, I've had spaces since like the 80s or something.
Damn.
And he's like, and there's so much fun, bro. Mm. And I was like, all right. I was like, interesting. Okay. So I was like, you know what? Let me look at something I can afford by myself.
Yeah.
Where I don't need anybody, you know? And I started looking and then I found a spot in Pioneer Square. Mm-hmm. Jane runs it. It's called the Good Arts Building. I looked at hella spaces, but I didn't like them. And then I went to this space and it was run down, dude. It was little, fucked up. But it was fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It had personality, dude.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
the one that you guys went
yep,
to.
Yep.
That's the one, you know? Yeah. So when I got that, bro, it was like fucked up. Like the floors were all fucking crazy.
Well, when we got there, it wasn't, but yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy, bro. And I got there, I just fell in love with the spot, you know? Yeah. I always wanted to have a studio with brick, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just reminded me kind of like of Hey Arnold, you know, like his room on top, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. something like yeah. that, very iconic. And so I just saw the potential, bro, right away.
Yeah.
And it was cheap. It was like $1,100.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck it, I'm down. And she was like stressed out. She's like, oh, I've been showing so many people and no one's buying. I was like, I'm ready. You yeah. know what I mean? Like, yeah. you know, I'm ready. And so by this time I was like financially good because I had like done advertising mm-hmm. and I was had my monthly retainers and stuff. And I just said, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. cheap. And so I took it and I just started, I was like, fuck, now I got to remodel it. And there's a lot that I didn't know.
Yeah. Talk about that because, again, like, I feel like you've been sharing a lot of your journey, which people are going to learn from. But more specifically for those creatives out, there's a lot of creatives out here who may want to pursue that path, right? Yeah. They're trying to get something of their own. What is some advice you have for them in terms of like just early on?
Honestly, so square footage is your friend. Like what I learned at the time was that I'm so blessed that it worked out the way it did. Mm-hmm. Had I gotten that big spot, the first spot was probably 6,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. To give you like right now, Colors is about that size. Mm-hmm. There's no way I would have been able to run that mm-hmm. without losing my mind. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's just so much to learn about space. And so when you're starting out, if you're running a smaller spot, it's actually really nice. Because one, you don't need to buy a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, and like when you have a big space, it's a lot of space to fill it. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out how you're going to monetize that.
Yeah.
And so like space is your friend. You have to know how much space you can have to still make money and still mm-hmm. do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. But if you start small, I think you learn a lot. Mm-hmm. And then you can always scale up depending on your lease, how many years you sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that space, it was, I love that it had high ceilings. And then at that time I was doing a lot of e-commerce work. So mm-hmm. it was perfect for e-commerce and perfect for portraits. So it checked out what I needed. And so I'd say if you're looking for a space, just make sure that you know, like what your business is, how you, it depends on what you want to do with it, but mm-hmm. it has to check those boxes.
That's real.
Location was important as well. I got really lucky. I didn't know the districts, you know. Mm-hmm. I ended up in Pioneer Square, and that's like the perfect place to be for many reasons, you know, especially for our business. And so I just got really lucky with a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. A lot of things could have gone bad with that deal, honestly. Yeah. And then, too, I'd say, too, like, if you're – one thing about me when I started off was, like, I really wanted it to look a certain way. And I think, like, as I've learned more, as like, not having spaces is, like – you can embrace a lot of these like things that aren't perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's about getting creative with it. But I also think that you do have to invest in your space. Like it's mm-hmm. your environment. You mm-hmm. know, I think I see a lot of people that like don't do that, you know? And so like, it's like, if you want it to look really beautiful, you know, like take the time, whether you have to do it yourself or figure it out.
Yeah. You know?
And then just, you know, you don't got to build it overnight. Like I've seen how you guys have progressed with the podcast mm-hmm. and really built it out. Like the same way with us. Like, start and just slowly add to it.
Yeah. Brick by brick.
Man, that's mm-hmm. real, man. I kind of want to piggyback off that question too. So I know a lot of it was probably like starting out or whatever. So I guess what advice do you have for people that are running a studio and are kind of like in the middle of it and they don't like, what did you do to not really get like complacent, you know?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, if you're running a studio, I'd say like, so I think Seattle's a great market mm-hmm. because the creative industry is growing here mm-hmm. and there's a lot of places that people that need spaces. And so it really depends on how big you want to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you're ambitious and you want to create different spaces, mm-hmm. then I think you invest your time in like either the setup or the marketing or the back end of it. Mm-hmm. But a studio business, you can run it as well as like a side thing.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people kind of gravitate towards that where it's like, oh, it's my studio, but then I make some money on Peer Space. Mm-hmm. If it's like that, then you keep it simple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you're not trying to get into the studio business, but you want to make some extra income, then keep it simple. Like make some money, you know, to cover your costs.
Yeah.
Don't go too deep into it. If you want to make it into a business where you're like, we're building spaces, we're accommodating, mm-hmm. that comes with a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so you got to make sure that that's even what you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And and that's what you want, then there's a lot that you can do. And it's fun. Like you can learn about like how to make it better for the customers when they go inside, their experiences, like do they get a review right after? Mm-hmm. There's a lot we can go into on that.
Yeah. I think also what it boils down to is there's a difference between like, you know, an idea and a vision.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Like,
like
you said, it's a good idea to do it as a side business or something that can be more passive, but a vision is not that.
Right.
A vision is like, no, I got a vision for this place.
Right, bro.
And I want to steer that to Colors because I feel like you had spaces, but then something about Colors clearly was more visionary, right?
Yeah.
Because it was scaled up and there was more to it. So, can you just talk about that vision you had for Colors, because I think is definitely evolved over time.
Yeah. So that's the thing too. And actually I love the way you said it, because like there's ideas and there's visions. Mm-hmm. And like when I was in the space, I was making ads for clients, revenue, like I was doing content, what I already loved. The studio started off as a side thing where it was like, oh, some extra revenue, right? But once I got into it and I started seeing the community aspect of it, that's what started to create the vision. Mm-hmm. Right. And to give you guys context too, like I'm going to go back to the traveling for a little bit. When I was traveling, I was sleeping in hostels, right? Mm-hmm. And I was sleeping in, like, community bases. And that had a huge influence on me later on when I started building colors. Mm-hmm. Because when I would go to hostels, it's very similar to how you would go to our co-working space. Mm-hmm. Where it's like you're going to meet random people. You know, somebody might just be flying in mm-hmm. and they're like working there for the day. And it's very community oriented. It's mm-hmm. like you can meet your next business partner there yeah. or like, hey, let's mastermind on some shit.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like to be when I was like backpacking and traveling. I was yeah. meeting these really interesting people. And I always felt welcome, dude. Mm. I always felt welcome. Like, I never felt out of place. Mm. I feel like I could get there and I could meet some people. And, like, you know, I might be doing something that night with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah.
And that's the community that I wanted in my hometown, you know?
Yeah.
Which is Seattle. And I didn't have that. You know, at least I couldn't find it. Mm. And so when I started doing the events, the first one I did with Will, at Will Media, shout out to my boy, finding Will on Instagram. What happened was he rented the studio out on Pier Space when I was in Mexico, mm-hmm. and he just hit me up. He's like, "Yo, I love the merch," and it wasn't really merch. It was actually like what we would sell to have the contractors wear when they were on shoots. Mm-hmm. But I love the logo.
Yeah,
and I've always loved the colors logo, and so like I love that he appreciated that. And I was like, "Thanks, dude." And so I was like, "Let's grab coffee," you know, when I'm back. And so we grabbed coffee. And he started really, he had been in the city for a year mm-hmm. and he was like telling me about these events that I didn't know about. And so we did our first one, and the first one was a photo party, like a photo fest. Okay. And I got to see the Seattle community like with the photo shoots. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was like, oh, this is way bigger than a studio rental. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. this is a community, and like they haven't really, they don't have a hub, mm-hmm. you know? And so yep. and I was like, these people want the same thing I want.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But Colors was too small. See, that's the thing. Colors was 500 square feet at the time.
Gotcha.
And so that size was a problem. And so I started looking at other studios. And by this time, I kind of knew the business a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting a studio in like a 210, under 210. It was really cool. But the problem, there's a lot of problems with the space. And so I had to it wasn't going to work. And the owner is Taylor. Shout out to Taylor, because she actually let me get out of that lease. Because mm-hmm. I was like, hey, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And I had already invested money, dude, like in getting it painted and stuff. Mm. It was bad. And then at the same time, dude, Jane, my landlord, tells me, she's like, hey, like, you got to move. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, yeah, so we're getting too many complaints. Because like that space, that building was an art building. And so people were painters, right? And so we were making like music videos, yeah. photo shoot. And yeah. there was like 10 people, yeah. bro, like at a time.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of traffic. And so she was like, yeah, like you got to move like January or something.
Oh my God.
And so think about this. I just lost, I didn't lose my deposit, but I lost my money from the paint and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That place is not going to work. And now I got to leave. Mm. Yeah. It was shitty, bro. Yeah. And so, so at the time Will was looking for studio spaces. And so he was like, he had found a spot, which is actually where our building is now. Mm-hmm. He got the top floor. And so I called Will one day and I just told him what I was going through. And he was like, yo, check out the bottom spot. And so that's where our production space is now. Mm-hmm. And so I have another tip too. Like if you're looking for spaces, like if you find an agent, you get a better deal. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but you can find deals that are off market. Mm-hmm. Then at the time I only knew about Craigslist, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, and also just ask, you know, like communicate with your friends and like let them know what you're going through.
Because
you never know. Someone might have the, what you need.
It's a lot of information barriers, man.
Bro, I think that's been most of my life, just figuring things out. And I've acquired like friendships, you know, and different things that have made my life so much easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got into that space. And then from there, it was that's where like we went from 500 square feet to like now 2200 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then from there, it was like, fuck, we got to, it was a very slow increment.
Yeah.
Because it was like I only had so much money to like get the place like one section kind of filled.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there it was like that's when the vision started to come. That's when I was like, okay, now we have the space.
Yeah.
You know, we have the space, we can do more stuff. So we started doing more events. But what I kept kind of seeing that was happening was like I didn't feel like it was very like it wasn't fully developed yet, because when you're renting a studio, most studios will rent it out for like per hour.
Got you.
But I feel like when you're creating, it's kind of like you want like a hub. You want something that's like, you know what I mean?
Like, something that feels like it's yours.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't want to go shoot for 2 hours and I got a dip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe I want to work on something afterwards. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, but it's cool because like you might only need to shoot for 2 hours.
Yeah.
But you still like, you need a home base. And so the vision became like, okay, we need to get like a place that people either a bigger space mm-hmm. where we can kind of compartmentalize, or we get acquire the first floor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then the first floor can serve as like a 24/7 hour space where people can come, mm-hmm. community can work out of, mm-hmm. conference rooms, editing, brainstorm sessions. And then when you go upstairs, then you shoot and you make content.
Yeah.
You know? And so that started to become like the vision, like, oh, we can make a hub. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It starts to mature over time. But you got to be in it.
You got to be in it, bro.
It'll never mature and it'll never evolve if you don't fully commit and stay in it.
Yeah.
That's real.
Because there's no way that, like, you can know. Like
you're told
me
that. You're not supposed to know.
Yeah, you're not supposed to know. Yeah. Bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just kind of going on the motion and you're figuring things out.
That's amazing, bro.
That's dope, man. For real. I also want to ask you about, like, how the name Colors came about.
Yeah.
Like, why Colors?
So I was in Edmonds. I was in Edmonds at my spot, and I wanted something very creative, mm-hmm. you know, but I didn't want to say creative.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I wanted it just to be, like, something that was, like, universal. And I'm big on, like, names, and I'm big on details. Mm-hmm. And I don't really, it doesn't have to make sense to me logically, but when I see it, I know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What's interesting about Colors, I remember I was, like, brainstorming at the time, and I was like, I looked different names, and I had read somewhere that, like, a powerful thing to do with branding is, like, 3 syllables max. Mm. If you can get 2, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Very easy to remember. And then make up a word, you know? Mm-hmm. That's very powerful. Like, Uber is not a word, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you can make a word up or change a word, how it's spelled and stuff, like, it's very powerful because people will remember it. Mm.
Yeah.
When I got to the name Colors, I was like, this is perfect, you know? Mm-hmm. What's interesting is, as I went on my journey, I started to really see what that actually meant, you know, because we're the only color-owned studio that's, like, of our size in our community, bro. It's crazy.
Yeah, talk about it.
You know what I mean? And, like, those are things that, like, we naturally just were.
Yeah.
We're never trying to promote that. It's never like we're like, hey, no, this is just anyone's welcome. You know, our community's welcome. We're building this for the community.
Yeah.
And it just naturally became this beautiful thing.
It's like a symbol, you know?
Yeah. And it was one of those things that was, like, it was like the name fit what we were building, but it was also like we were building what was just kind of natural to make, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then later the name was like, oh, that's fucking genius. Like, that's the perfect name, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, even with the context, I'm like, damn, you're right. It was like, it's always just been a part of us. And then you're just like, but it's just so dope though. Like,
been a more perfect name,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what, like, again, I think there's certain things that in life you know, if you live, like, you follow what you're seeing, and it's scary, you know? The right things will come, right?
Yeah.
And things that don't make sense now, later will make sense.
Yeah, I think also, I just want to kind of stay on the aspect of, we were talking about it before the show a little bit, but just the cultural currency and, like, knowing your value, you know? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people find themselves in positions of service without knowing they are.
Yeah, for real.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it may have been a self-serving venture at first.
Right.
And then it turns into, oh, I have a responsibility a little bit. Yeah. I got a little responsibility now. And can you just talk about that, where now you've positioned yourself where it's still Colors, right? It's still kind of what you already built to begin with. But now it serves as a bigger resource.
Yeah.
Right? And I love using the word revolutionary because I'm not using it loosely in this case. But I think a lot of things that we do when we're trying to serve underserved communities is revolutionary.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, any sort of contribution. So can you talk about kind of like how the community's gravitated towards what you guys have done?
Yeah.
And like how that has maybe helped you, and not only helped you, but like gave you confidence as you move forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, is that like Colors is a platform, and it's designed to be a space that people can use. Mm-hmm. To really like fast forward their business growth and their personal development growth, right? And we've always tried to stay true to that from the beginning with when we started doing our events. Like we've been doing the Art Walk. Art Walk is one of many that we do, but Art Walk is one of these things that we participate in every month, right? And we give artists a chance to showcase their art that normally might not be accepted into like these other galleries.
Yep.
And it's kind of the way that we're like, hey, well, we're gonna do it.
Yeah.
We don't have to ask anyone permission, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we're going to showcase our community, and it's not going to be based on like where have you showed at. Now it's like, if we like what you're doing with the community, we're going to give you that chance. You know?
Yes, sir. Yep.
A lot of people deserve a chance, they're just never giving a chance. Right? So like I think in everything that we do, it that's like whether it's a workshop, whether it's an event, it's us really putting it in for like what we've wanted, you know, and we feel like other people have wanted, yeah. and we want it. And the thing is, the key is not necessarily for us to do all these events, but it's to empower our community.
Yep.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, for example, you guys want to host an event? Great. We'll sponsor it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. Use the space, you know, bring your community. Yeah. We'll bring our community. And the reason why Colors has grown is because Colors is bigger than one person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And people feel empowered to do their own thing there. Mm-hmm. And so when you do that, you have a lot of entrepreneurs yeah. that are coming yeah. and doing their own ideas, their own events, and
yeah.
their own brands. And
yeah.
and you can expedite growth because people are a part of it.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know?
You build a network.
You build a network, bro.
You know what I mean?
And then my network meets your network. Then your network meets my network, right? Mm-hmm.
100%.
And we're all growing and like we're learning, and you attract so many different types of artists.
But that's literally all it is. When you share what you've built,
yeah.
it helps mm-hmm. things grow.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's ultimately whether it's a space, whether it's a platform, regardless of what it is, when you share what you build, you know, it's only going to create more value.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I mean?
You got to share. I think for a lot of people, like, you know, I get it. You know, like when you're building a business, your baby. Right.
Yeah.
And there's an ego that's attached to that. Right. Mm-hmm. But then a day, like if you really want to build something really big, like you got to be open about it. You got to yeah, be able yeah. to share it. You know,
yeah, yeah.
you got to be like, for example, I brought my business partner, Pedro Gomez. On
yeah, yeah. Shout out, months. Pedro. Man.
Yeah. Big shout out to Pedro. Pedro's got 11 years over me. Mm-hmm. You know, he's mm-hmm. been doing politics for 10 years alone. Yeah. Community work. And I know that he's better equipped for a lot of things. Right. And so me, I have to be like, my job is to find the right people and bring them in and be like, yo, yeah. we got to build this.
Yeah. yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like, there's a lot that I don't know. And if you can save me 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited to just learn.
Yeah.
You know, I know what I bring to the table on certain things. Right. And like that is, it's like with, I think a lot of it is just strategic partnerships.
Yeah.
You know, and it's yeah. like, there's plenty for all of us to win.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? But you have yeah. to. We have been ingrained with like, hey, scarcity mindset, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
Oh, like, oh, there's yeah. not enough. Oh, like, keep it and yeah. it stays small, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The reason why I think like this is because I took that trip when I was young and I said, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, I quit all that and I said, I'm willing to be broke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm willing to fucking, yeah. like, if I have to eat fucking Chipotle every day, I'm fine with yeah. that, man.
Shout out Chipotle, though.
I love Chipotle.
Chipotle's great, though.
No, no, it's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what I mean by that is, like, well, that was one of my goals when I came back.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
goal was to just have enough food to eat Chipotle.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so what I mean like that is, like, when you let go of just, like, I think we started seeing success, me and my own personal life, when I stopped having these crazy expectations of mm-hmm. having to change the world or start this crazy company.
Yep,
I was like, I'm just going to do what I feel like I have to do, and then things just naturally start
happening. You know, one thing that helps me alleviate any sort of pressure that people put pressure on themselves, but one is I try to replace the word pressure with purpose. So instead of saying like I'm under pressure, say like I'm under purpose.
Mm.
And it has like a more positive connotation to it, as opposed to like pressure is just negative, bro.
Right, right.
I don't care how you slice it.
Words are important, bro.
Yeah, right. So
very important.
That, but then also just like understanding it's not a one person job.
Hell
so,
no.
If you know you're making your contribution, you can sleep at night and be like, cool.
Right.
I'm making my contribution. And I think that right there is what will help a lot of people just put forth whatever they want to put forth. You
yep.
know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. That's real.
That's real, bro. And it's like you got to be composed through it all, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like even what you're talking about, like with egos and stuff, it's like once you put that aside, it's kind of more fun when you collab with more people and kind of
yeah.
like learn from a lot more people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
It is.
I like the way you brought that up too, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And you know, I think entrepreneurship is huge. It's a great. I've tried a lot of different things in my life, you know, but I feel like nothing has challenged me more than entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has put me in more stressful or like scenarios where I have to grow.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, there's so much that goes into it. Like,
yeah.
even as simple as it's not simple, but it's huge. Like communication.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
something that when you're an entrepreneur, you have to have hard conversations.
Yeah.
With yourself, with yeah. your team.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot. And like, if you go on that route.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard, but it's so rewarding
mm-hmm.
because nothing is going to test you. Like, there's so many things you have to learn along the way.
Yeah.
And I think yeah. that's what I mean. And I want to say this too. Like, if you're starting a company and stuff, it's like, enjoy that, like enjoy
yeah.
the journey, because like a lot of times when you're starting out, I know, I remember that feeling of like feeling like, damn, why is this not blowing up?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not big yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're not big and not blowing up for a reason, and it's because you're not ready yet, you know? Like, why would you want to manage something that big?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know management skills yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why would you want to take that on? Like, you're not ready. You're, like, level one.
Yeah.
And you're trying to jump to level fucking 100, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, that's a bad situation.
Yeah,
you know?
you gotta keep it real with yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's really what it is in general. Like, any journey, you know?
Yeah.
You got to check yourself, and you got to make sure that that's if you want to grow.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think ultimately growth is earned, you know what I mean? Like, regardless of how you slice it, like, you gotta check yourself if you want to grow. That's how
I agree. For real. I kind of want to switch gears a little bit. I wanted to ask you about this because I seen it on the website, and you said, like, you guys' commitment is pretty much, like, equitable creative economy.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I really like that. So I just kind of wanted you to explain that a little bit.
Heck yeah. So out of our memberships, what we do is we allocate 20% of our memberships to people that might not have access or the resources to the space.
Okay.
And so we give them a very discounted rate and or if anything, free.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the ways that we do it. We want it shouldn't like financial burden shouldn't be an option for like not accessing.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is empowerment, right? So like kind of when I was talking about these events, we want you to make the events too, right? We want you to showcase your brand. That's the biggest thing with colors is if we can make it into a tool and not just give someone something but like actually teach people, we can really do some damage.
The educational piece. That's real.
I really liked it, man, because it was just very inclusive, you know. Like, it didn't like, if I was a creative and I didn't really have the funds to, like, you know, make moves or whatever, I could look at colors and be like, damn, like, I could do it. Or, you know, like, I'm not going to let financials kind of, like, hold me back. So, like, I really appreciate you guys for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro.
So I seen that and I was like, man, I think that's big because it's just going to keep it going. You know?
Yeah.
Nobody feels left out. So.
And that's huge because, like.
Yeah, you serve all different tiers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And he, like, even with, like, the art walk, we don't take any commissions. Like, we let the artists, if they, we want them to sell, you know?
Yeah.
And we're like, dude, like, if you can sell, like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, we want you to win.
Yeah.
And like, the art walk, I love the art walk. You know, even though we don't, like, necessarily paint, we, like, showcase artists, in my mind, all artists.
Yeah.
But that holds a big part of my heart.
Yeah,
like,
man.
You know, painting, art.
I just think about it, like, from the standpoint of, you know, you just want to give people opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just want to be a part of it.
Right.
You want to be a part of being able to, like, assist and help someone get further, right?
Yep.
And I always say, like, I'm always big on, like, value exchange because I feel like value exchange is, like, the best reference point, right? So, for instance, if someone comes and does an art walk, might be their first time ever doing an art show, you just exchange value.
Yeah.
They may never see you, maybe 15 years down the line.
Right.
But when you circle back, the last time they did see you, there was a value exchange.
I like
that.
It was
a great reference point.
Yeah.
But that person might end up being like Basquiat or something. Who knows?
Right.
You never know. But
right.
It's just to know, like, okay, well, I just want to be a part of it and exchange that value. So
yeah, bro.
That's dope, bro.
I like that. And like, and you know, like, if you look at like a lot of these places, artists and people that, like, you know, went on to do big things, like, there was hubs, bro, where like people would all like chill and like cross and and I think that's what really colors is like. A lot of people are going to come out of colors.
Yeah.
Big names, you know?
Yeah.
Bigger names than colors, you know?
Yeah.
And it'll be like that spot that you went to and that you like met, you know? And like, it's going to be an era.
100%.
And I wanted to see something on that too. And also, like, art's not linear.
Yeah.
It's very abstract. Mm-hmm. And so just because, like, for example, we don't, like, let's say we're not painters. We're inspired by painters. We're inspired by paintings.
Yeah.
And when you come into that space, that artwork really sets the tone.
Yeah.
And so you might be a videographer, a designer, but when you're in that environment inspires you.
Yeah.
And so I just love curating. I love creating experiences, vibes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at things, I look at them from an aspect of, like, aesthetic, like, does it please to my eye, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I think that plays a role, even if it's not directly, it's, like, another way.
Yeah. That's fire, man. Yeah, man. I love it, bro.
Yeah, I love this shit.
I love it. And if you're listening and watching, you are in the Seattle area, please, please make sure you pull up and check it out. Now, I do want to ask this question. I feel like I ask every guest this question, but I think it is important because, you know, we obviously have a lot of hardworking, hustling, grinding individuals who come up here. But for you, like, what works for you in terms of balancing, like, work and life?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And then not to say that it has to be perfect or you have it figured out, but I'm just curious. Like, what?
Yeah.
How do you navigate that?
So right now I'm like really auditing everything because like we've really ramped up in the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I have to get even more structured. And I think that's part of it, right? Like, you got to constantly adjust how you take things on. Because the way you took things on a year ago might be very different than a year later. And so you have to really look at that. And having it, like, you got to have core things that really kind of keep you accountable. Yeah. Whether it's the time that you wake up every day, you have to have some consistency in your life. And I think if you can do that, you can navigate through things. Because the more you get busy and the more things you take on, more and more things are going to want to take your time.
That's real.
You know what I mean? And that's so you got to get really fucking good at saying no to a lot of shit and saying yes to the right shit.
Mm.
You know? And then also, if you're going to grow, you're going to need a team and you got to empower your team.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'd say like developing a solid schedule is really good. Having someone that can keep you accountable,
mm-hmm.
that you check in with, you know, is really important. Whether it's like a mentor or your business partner or somebody.
Yeah.
Got to have that, you know? And one thing that's helped me out a lot, I started doing it in November. Was journaling, bro.
Mm.
Started journaling.
Yeah.
Every fucking day.
I feel you.
And that's something that I've never done consistently, but I felt like I was in such a point where I needed to.
Yeah.
You know, I had so many ideas, so many thoughts, so many things. And so that's really given me this kind of like grounding.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's huge if you can do that.
That's good. Yeah. I definitely like that, man. That's kind of where I'm at right now, too. Kind of like, it feels like it kind of slows down time a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it does.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yep.
You're kind of, you could just be right there.
Yep.
You know? So
those moments are important, bro, for yourself where you're like, hey, I need to focus on me right now.
Yeah.
Because how are you going to take care of other people if you don't focus on yourself?
Trust me, if you don't do it, no one else will.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or if you wait for someone to do it, shit, you might be waiting for a while.
For a long time, dude. Yeah, and time goes fast, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it's like an athlete, like when they go into like the ice bath, you know, and they come out and they're kind of like a little fresh, you know what I'm saying? And then it's kind of like, that's like your recovery a little bit, you know?
So, I agree, bro. You got to do stuff like that. Like we are like, you got to engineer, you know?
Yeah.
You
got to listen.
Yeah.
And I think like there's no specific way, but you got to look into your own thoughts and your own mind and be like, what works for me, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's real, man.
Yeah, man. This is dope.
Gems, man. This man's been dropping gems. So Armando, I am curious. I mean, obviously you've already accomplished a lot and you're just getting started, right?
Just getting started,
just getting started. But I am curious, what excites you though for the future, right? It doesn't have to be so near or so far, or it could be near, but just for, I guess when we say the future, what excites you?
I'm really excited right now. I mean, Colors, it gets me so excited, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like to just be part of that. Like it's hard to not get excited, you know, like just to see like where we're going. Really like growing our membership base, our community, focusing on those little things of like, okay, how do we solve that? How do we solve that? How do we make this better?
Mm-hmm.
That's really where my mind's at fully. It's just how do we make Colors better?
Gotcha.
There's different things that we gotta like improve on and stuff. And I think I'm just excited for right now, like that Colors phase. Seeing it grow.
I love it.
Nice. And where can people find you guys or get in contact with you guys or get involved?
Whatever,
you know.
Yeah, so colorstudios.com. It's going to have our resources if you want to be a part of the ArtWalk, memberships. We try to put everything on there.
Mm-hmm.
Color Studios on Instagram, it's K, and then it's Color Studios, plural. And then my personal one, you guys can reach me there at Life with Mondo on my personal Instagram right there.
Yeah, make sure y'all tap in, man. Definitely. Yep. We love what you've built, you and your team, obviously, and what you guys are building outside of just the brand, but just a community, right? So before we do get you out here, I know you're busy. If you can answer this one question for me, what's one word to describe what keeps you on the up and up and why?
Let's say like I think the only thing I think of is like patience, you know? Like just like, because I know things take time. And so that gives me calmness to be like, it doesn't matter how long things take, it's going to get there.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that I've been blessed with that God's given me. And I was like, damn, you really gave me that. You know?
Yeah.
And there was moments where I had my doubts, you know? And all I had to do was just be fucking patient, bro. You know what I mean? All I had to do was just fucking chill. It was coming the whole fucking time.
Come on, man.
You know what I mean?
Patience, man.
So just wait, bro.
I love that word, bro. Patience is everything, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's a test.
It's a fucking test.
It's a test. Yep. But you got to earn it.
You got to earn it. You got to have faith.
Man, come on, man. Feeling good. Wow, man. Well, Armando, man, we salute you. We thank you for being here, obviously, sharing your journey, man. It's powerful. I know for sure whoever has been listening or watching definitely should be charged up after this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
You should be charged up
for
sure.
Yeah, for real.
But yeah, man, we wish you much success moving forward, bro, with everything you got going. You know you got support with us here at the Up and Up always. And with that being said, I think it's safe to say, man, Armando and the whole Colors team are officially members of the Up and Up.
Hey.
Yeah.
Clap it up. Thank you, brother.
Hey, thank
Appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir.
Yo, what up? It's Rubino.
And this is DJ Earn.
We hope you enjoyed that episode and that now you have a better understanding of what it means to live life on the Up and Up.
To continue supporting the podcast and the entire Up and Up movement, be sure to rate, review, like, and subscribe.
As well as follow us at underscore the Up and Up on all social media platforms to stay connected with everything the Up and Up has coming your way.
Thanks for listening. And until the next one,
keep it on the Up and Up.